الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue with the Surah Al-Baqarah verse 253. And as far as I remember, we were in the middle of the tafsir of that ayah when we stopped. And so we will resume from where we stopped, naturally. And we were discussing Isa ibn Maryam, in fact, and we had said that we love for the noise to be minimized. First, and then second, we had said concerning Isa that he was the messenger of Allah, right? He was a prophet and he was a slave. And I gave you an evidence from the Quran, which you should memorize. Otherwise you will be a lousy da'iyah. You will be a lousy da'iyah. Every time you want to quote something, you don't know, you don't have the quotation, you're not going to be able to do it, right? So when will you be able to truly give da'wah? When you have the references. And when I say references, I don't mean that you have to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah verse. That's fine. If you do this, this is a bonus. But you should at least be able to memorize the evidence itself, not the number of the evidence, but the evidence, and you should be able to say it correctly. This will enhance your da'wah. First, because if you were to discuss this with a Christian, this will terrorize them. When they see someone quoting the Quran so freely in the Arabic text, then quoting their biblical text, they will realize that they're dealing with someone who is well versed. And so they will shake up a little bit, and consequently they may not be able to respond or refute you. So we said we have a chapter in the Quran which emphatically declares Jesus saying, I am the slave of Allah. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. Where is this ayah found? In which chapter of the Quran? Surah Maryam. Can anyone quote the Arabic text? It's only one verse, ya shabab. The same way you memorize Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, you can memorize this one. Qala Inni Abdullah. Memorize. Qala Inni Abdullah. He said, I am the slave of Allah. Atani al-kitab. He has given me the book, وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا, and he made me a prophet. That's it. You see how easy that was? I am the slave of Allah. He has given me the book and made me a prophet. Surah Maryam. What verse? You can look it up. You have to do some work also. You can't expect the teacher to do everything for you. Right, so you need to memorize this, because this is the crucial evidence in the da'wah to the Christians. Okay, so continuing here, the Shaykh rahimahullah said, فَجَعَلَهُ يُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ وَيُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَكَلَّمَ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا وَأَيَّدَهُ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ أي بِرُوحِ الْإِيمَانِ. And Allah made Jesus able to heal the leper and the blind and to give life to the dead by the leave of Allah, by the permission of Allah, with the permission of Allah, not on his own. Even in the biblical texts, when Jesus prior to giving life to Lazarus, he said that his own statement that he was doing this so the people will see Allah's work through him. It wasn't him doing it, it was Allah doing this miracle on the hands of his prophet Jesus. Otherwise, none can give life to the dead but Allah Jalla Jalalu, in the ultimate sense. Okay. And he also spoke to the people in the cradle, and Allah aided him or supported him with Ruh al-Qudus, the Shaykh said, which is the spirit of Iman, the spirit of faith. So he made his spirituality superior to the spirituality of others, and thereby he received power and support. And even though وإن كان أصل تأييد بهذه الروح عاما لكل مؤمن بحسب إيمانه كما قال وأيدهم بروح منه. And even though this kind of support is general and it includes every believer depending on his level of belief, as Allah said وأيدهم بروح منه, and Allah aided them with روح from him, spirituality from him. لكن ما لعيسى أعظم مما لغيره, لهذا قصه الله بالذكر. But what Isa, what Jesus was given, was superior to others, and this is why Allah had specified that here. وقيل أن روح القدس هنا جبريل, and others say that روح القدس is Gabriel. أيده الله بإعانته ومؤازرته, that Allah aided Jesus through the support of Jibril عليه الصلاة والسلام. لكن المعنى هو الأول. But the Shaykh said, but the correct interpretation is the first one, that the intent here, روح القدس, is not Gabriel, Jibril. It is the Iman, the spirituality which Jesus was dwelling in, as opposed to others who were inferior to him in this area. Even though each has his own share, he was superior to the rest. وَلَمَّا أَخْبَرَ عَنْ كَمَالِ الرُّسُلِ وَمَا أَعْطَاهُمْ مِنَ الْفَضْلِ وَالْخَصَائِصِ وَأَنَّ دِينَهُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَدَعْوَتُهُمْ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَاحِدَةٌ وَكَانَ مُوجِبُ ذَلِكَ وَمُقْتَضَاهُ أَنْ تَجْتَمِعَ الْأُمَمُ عَلَى تَصْدِيقِهِمْ وَالْإِنْقِيَادِ لَهُمْ لِمَا آتَاهُمْ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ الَّتِي عَلَى مِثْلِهَا يُؤْمِنُ الْبَشَرُ لَكِنْ أَكْثَرَهُمْ انْحَرَفُوا عَنِ الصِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. The Shaykh said, and after Allah had informed us about the virtue of the messengers and what Allah has given them of special bounties that are particular to them, and that their religion is one. Their religion in essence is one. Now who can support that by a biblical text attributed to Jesus himself, that he wasn't bringing anything new? You don't have to give me the reference, but at least give me the verse. Do you know the reference? I believe it's Matthew chapter 5 verses 17 and 18. I believe so. Do not think, or think not, however you like to translate it, that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Until heavens and earth pass away, not even the stroke of a pen, not even an iota will be changed from the law until all is fulfilled. So that clearly says that Jesus was saying, I and the prophets before me had a universal single religion. Our religion is one. Don't think that I came to destroy. I came to fulfill. Furthermore, the Prophet Muhammad had confirmed that. In the very narration dealing with Isa, he said, أَنَا أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمُ لَيْسَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ نَبِيٌّ. Then he said, I have the most right to Jesus, the son of Mary. There was no prophet between him and I. There was no prophet between them. Right after Jesus was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, verily the messengers, their fathers are one and their mothers are different. And the scholars say what is intended by that, meaning their religion, the essence of the religion, which is Tawheed, maintaining the unity of Allah and His names and attributes and worship, is one. But the law which governs them may vary depending on their times and circumstances. You see what I'm saying? But in essence, it's one religion. One religion. And so this is why, I thought I was wearing my glasses, but I didn't find them. So this is why you will find that there is a lecture, is called, for there shall only be one God, one religion. And we try to use this for da'wah. This is a very powerful da'wah too. That what we're calling to is, we're not saying, we will be abandoning everything else the prophets came with and only accepting that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're saying, in fact, they're all integrated. And we try to bring ourselves back to this universal message of all the prophets and messengers, which is based on Tawheed. So when Allah told us about that, and that they called to the same goodness, the same religion, and it was incumbent on the people, when this is the case, that they should agree and unite as communities to approve, believe and follow what has been given them. And because of what Allah had given these prophets of clear proofs, that is sufficient for human beings to believe. You know, when the disbelievers want to disbelieve, there's absolutely nothing you can do. I mean, just look at some of the miracles that you read in the Quran, some of the miracles which Allah had given to the previous prophets. And people still disbelieved. You know, the naqa, the camel, the she camel, which would actually give them. What was the miracle of the she camel? There were two miracles. One of them is questionable in terms of authenticity, but what was the miracle of the she camel? Thamud, al-naqa, naqa to Thamud.
The milk?
Yeah, the milk. Yeah, what? Oh, okay, what about the milk?
It has a lack of milk that can produce all the people.
Yeah. They killed it. This is when destruction came. But what was the miracle of the she camel? Some of the scholars say that it was born, it came out of a stone. Out of a stone, boom, there comes the camel. Secondly, Allah had divided the drinking between them and the camel, one day for the camel, one day for the people. And it would actually give milk for the whole people. Some of the ulama say they will give it water and it will give it milk, you know, immediately. So this was a miracle which Allah had given them, you know. Musa split the ocean with a stick and the stick became a snake. Jesus gave life to the dead. And people yet disbelieved. Unbelievable. Imagine if someone came and did this and he told you, I'm the messenger of Allah and he had good character. I mean, if he was a liar, you know, if they brought David Copperfield, then we will say, okay man, I don't care about this kind of miracle because this is a shaitan standing before me. But when it's a messenger of Allah, they had some qualities. They had, people were able to recognize the righteousness that they were upon. So for the people to reject remains to be amazing. But this is the affair of the children of Adam with their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala kulli hal. But most of them deviated from the straight path. وَوَقَعَ الْإِخْتِلَافُ بَيْنَ الْأُمَمِ. And differing occurred between the nations. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَفَرَ. Among them are those who believed and among them are those who rejected or disbelieved. وَوَقَعَ لِأَجْلِ ذَلِكَ الْإِقْتِتَالِ الَّذِي هُوَ مُوجِبُ الْإِخْتِلَافِ وَالتَّعَادِي. And because of that, fighting took place, which is the consequence of differing. This is the consequence of differing, that people eventually engage in some sort of fight. This is the nature of the children of Adam. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى فَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا. However, if Allah had willed, He would have guided all of them and they would have never differed. You see what I'm saying? Meaning Allah is able to guide everyone on earth now. There will be no more Christians, no more Hindus, no more Buddhists, no more atheists. Right now everyone will become a Muslim if Allah willed. But is that justice? Is that justice? Because some people don't deserve it. You see what I'm saying? Allah made the concept of belief and the result of that being paradise an issue of effort, an issue of deserving it. If you don't deserve it, you don't get it. So He gave the human beings all the means and the faculties with which they are able to distinguish the truth and the falsehood, the right and the wrong, the guidance and the deviance, and so on and so forth. So no one has an excuse. No one has an excuse. Well, it didn't make sense to me. I was living in this kind of environment. Once the message had been delivered to them, there's no excuse. And also, the ulama say that regardless, every idol worshipper or every person upon the false religion, at some point in time, he is given signs and indications that he is upon the false religion. Every person. What happens is, some people when they get this kind of signal, they react and they do something about it, and others, they don't. We assume, and Allah knows best, those of you who are buying Islam are of the second or the first. When the signal came to you, you responded. So Allah guided you. Others receive equal signals. However, they don't respond. So they remain astray. So then whose fault is it? Is it Allah's fault? A'udhu billah, or the person's fault? The person's fault. Everyone is given a sign that he is doing, he's not upon a religion which is pleasing to God. This is something that is logical, spiritual, it's ingrained in our natural disposition. In your natural disposition, the very image of someone prostrating to an idol is abhorrent, is sick, without even having any knowledge. If you were the most illiterate man on earth, never been to school, never read a book, don't even know how to write a letter. If you saw someone prostrating to an idol, this is a disturbing view. Something's wrong with it. Whoa, why is he doing that? Why the submission to some you know, wooden object or whatever other material it's made of? But you know, so Allah made it clear, people don't like it. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَيْضًا بَعْدَمَا وَقَعَ الْاخْتِلَافِ الْمُوجِبِ لِلْاقْتِتَالِ مَقْتَتَلُ. Furthermore, now that they have differed and they fought, if Allah willed, they would have never fought either. But Allah allowed them to fight. وَلَكِنْ حِكْمَتَهُ اقْتَدَتْ جَرَيَانِ الْأُمُورِ عَلَى هَذَا النِّظَامِ عَلَى هَذَا النِّظَامِ بِحَسَبِ الْأَسْبَابِ. But Allah's wisdom entailed that matters are conducted in this fashion according to reasons and causes which He had created and decreed. So then it's all according to the will of Allah. Who can give us a verse from the Quran in the later chapters, in the latter chapters of the Quran towards the end, that clearly indicates that Allah does what He wills? I'm going to start giving quizzes, man. Brothers who fail will have to change school. No, I'm just joking. Come on, brothers. Give me an ayah. At the end of the Quran. I'm not telling you, give me something from the middle. Things you should have memorized by now if you've been a Muslim for over 2 months. Okay? I'm trying to put some pressure on you. Towards the end of the Quran, there's an ayah that clearly says, He does whatever He wills. And it's in a very, you know, strong wording. Three verses. Who knows Surah Al... No, not a Surah, an ayah. Surah Al-Buruj. Fa'alun. You should know the meaning, ya akhwan. Don't only memorize like a parrot. Don't just memorize the last Juz Amma. Memorize Juz Amma with the meaning of Juz Amma. It's not a big deal, trust me. When you were in school, you were memorizing all kinds of crazy stuff. Right or wrong? You were memorizing all these, you know, the geometry rules and the algebra and physics and chemistry and a bunch of nonsense, right? But you memorized it. Why? Because you wanted to succeed. You wanted to pass the exam. You wanted to graduate. So we studied material which we thought was the most boring on earth. Right? But what about the deen of Allah and the Quran, the speech of Allah? We can't, you know, give Abdul Aziz. We can't give some time to know what these ayat mean. We should. If anyone is asking, we are verse 253. Okay? We should. You should know what fa'alun lima yurid means. Let's improve your Arabic language. Fa'al from fi'l, action, doing. Fa'al is like abundant. It indicates abundance. He does what lima yurid, irada. So try to, the lads who get the English or Tagalog or whatever, and try to familiarize yourself with the verse in Arabic and the meaning in English to some extent, at least a general understanding. So when you are in salah and the imam recites Surah Al-Buruj, and you are familiar with what the chapter speaks about or some of the ayat, you will be able to interact in the salah with the imam, and you will benefit from your salah, as opposed to, you know, sitting there and knowing, having absolutely no idea what's being said. They're not the same. The quality of the salah will not be the same. And so in Ramadan, you hear that a lot. So we should be familiar with the Quran, especially the last juzu, the things which are easier for us at this particular stage. جيد. إذن فبهذه الآية أكبر شاهد على أنه تعالى يتصرف في جميع الأسباب المقتضية لمسبباتها. In this ayah is the biggest evidence that Allah Azza wa Jal does, He causes the cause in order for the results to be in this fashion. So it's not like the result comes without the cause. Allah is the ultimate causer of things. And in this ayah there's an evidence that if Allah willed, people would have been guided. If Allah willed, they would have never fought. If Allah willed, but Allah didn't will that. He willed otherwise. He caused these other reasons to exist so that the result will be according to Allah's will. That's what we need to learn from this ayah. وَأَنَّهُ إِنْ شَاءَ أَبْقَاهَ وَإِنْ شَاءَ مَنَعَهَا. And if Allah had willed, He would have kept them. And if Allah had willed, He would have prevented them. وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ تَبَعٌ لِحِكْمَتِهِ وَحْدَهُ فَإِنَّهُ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Subhanallah. It came in the tafsir. And this is all conditional to Allah's wisdom. Only Allah's wisdom. Because verily He does what He wills. فَلَيْسَ لِإِرَادَتِهِ وَمَشِئَتِهِ مُمَانِعُ وَلَا مُعَارِضُ وَلَا مُعَاوِنُ. So concerning Allah's will and decree, there is no objection, there is no preventing element, and there are no assistance either. Neither can someone prevent Allah from what He wills, nor can someone aid Allah in fulfilling that will of His. It's all in Allah's control. And the biggest evidence is that at the time of illness, when one is on the verge of death, no matter how qualified the doctors which are present during that time, even if they brought all the doctors in the world, will they be able to maintain the soul in this body if Allah had willed for the soul to leave? No way. It doesn't matter what they do, they can't. And you may put someone in a train and let the train go at the speed of million kilometers per hour and make another train crash into it, where you will think that no way someone will survive, and a man will survive. Now you've heard some strange stories and accidents where, you know, the bus driver survived and everybody with him died. And he was the one who hit first. He was the first one to collide with the other car or something. Somehow, subhanAllah, he jumped out the window and he remained alive. Nothing happened to him. Everybody else died. So you know, these things, no one has any control over. So this is aqidah, right? Now we go on to another topic here, to some extent. Verse 254, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع فيه ولا خلة ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون. 254 please.
Will you believe in that which will provide it for you before a day comes when there will be no bargaining, nor friendship, nor intercession, and it is the disbelievers who are the
Zalimun. And it is the disbelievers who are?
Zalimun.
Let's say Zalimun. Now I know in the English they have to write Z, but it is actually Zalimun. Because it makes a difference. If you say غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, you have indeed disbelieved. ضالين. Because ظل is shadow, and so you say now without those who have attained your wrath and those who are shadowing others, and you want to say الضالين, those who are astray. So in the language, the Arabic language, it's a very technical issue, the pronunciation of letters, as it is in English actually, or any other language. Saying something other than what is intended or what is supposed to be said will actually alter the meaning, and you may come up with something totally unacceptable in Islam. Right? So I mean, there are many other examples, but this is not the time to elaborate. Anyways, we should all be able to say va, and so valimun. Valimun. When you need that for Yahya here. طيب. So that will happen later, inshallah. You have through the Arabic class. We're not going to turn this to an Arabic class. يحث الله المؤمنين على النفقات في جميع طرق الخير. Allah encourages the believers to spend in the various ways of goodness. All ways of good, in the various ways of good spending, we have been encouraged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to spend. لِأَنَّ حَذْفَ الْمَعْمُولِ يُفِيدُ التَّعْمِيلِ. This is a principle here in the language and in the tafsir. حَذْف is the omitting. الْمَعْمُولِ, the object of the sentence. In English you have a subject, a verb, and a direct object and an indirect object, right? And we have the subject and predicate, that's all another discussion. But the point being, when the object has been omitted, then whatever the verb indicates, it indicates exclusivity. Okay, or I'm sorry, comprehensiveness, encompassment. When that which is not mentioned, yani this is similar to the English, the superlative form. We say Ahmad is bigger than Rabi'. Ahmad is the biggest. When we want to say that he is the biggest, so we have this kind of form. In Arabic, we don't have that. We only have comparative. However, whenever that which we are comparing to is not mentioned, the thing itself becomes in the superlative. The adjective itself becomes in the superlative. You with me? Okay, maybe you forgot the grammar. That's fine. So what I'm saying is, when Allah says spent, and He did not mention the kind or to who, that means it includes and encompasses everything, all kinds of spending to all and all ways of good. Had He said spend on a particular group, then the ayah would have been specified to spending on widows or orphans and so on and so forth. When that wasn't mentioned, the object wasn't mentioned, meaning everything is included. Jameel. نعم ويذكرهم نعمته عليهم بأنه هو الذي رزقهم ونوع عليهم النعم. And Allah reminds us of our favor, of His favors upon us, that He is the one who has sustained us, and He has given us a variety in the sustenance which we have. وأنهم لم يأمرهم بإخراج جميع ما في أيديهم بل أتى بمن الدل على التضعيف. And that He did not command us to spend everything He has given us. Rather, He used the preposition min, some. Here means some, meaning you are expected to spend only some of that which you have been given, not the whole thing. Otherwise, it would be too much for us. If you had 20,000 riyals and you were expected to give it all in sadaqah and go back to zero, you will never, you know, you may never be able to live. So you are expected to spend only some. Part of it is to be given in sadaqah. This is from the mercy of Allah. فهذا مما يدعوهم إلى الإنفاق. This should encourage us and incite us to spend. ومما يدعوهم أيضا إخبارهم أن هذه النفقات مدخرة عند الله في يوم لا تفيد فيه المعاوضات بالبيع ونحوه. And another element of encouragement is the fact that Allah told us that all these will be stored for us on a day where no business transactions or otherwise will be of any benefit. Right? On that day, the money will be of no benefit, but spending now, this money spent in the dunya will become of benefit on the day of judgment. Keeping it to that day will be of no benefit for the son of Adam. وَلَا تَبَرُّعَاتْ وَلَا شَفَعَاتْ. Nor donations or intercessions. فَكُلُّ أَحَدٍ يَقُولُ مَا قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. So each one will be speaking and be concerned about what I have put forth for my own life. فتنقطع الأسباب كلها إلا الأسباب المتعلقة بطاعة الله والإيمان به. So all links shall be cut off except the links which are relevant to belief in Allah and obedience to Him. Everything else will be cut off. All other links of status among the people, the president of the country, the general of the army, these are benefit you in the dunya. If you are a general in the army and you go and get something done at some, you know, government institute, and or you were a regular peasant, the treatment you will receive is different. It's not the same. So your status in the dunya will get you somewhere. On the day of judgment, nothing of that sort will benefit anyone. The only links which will survive and will actually bring about success are the links which are based on belief in Allah and acts of worship and obedience to Him. Very fundamental. Now, يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. In Surah الشعراء, Allah had told us that after He mentioned the dua of Ibrahim عليه الصلاة والسلام, the day where no wealth or children or boys in particular would be of any benefit except he who comes to Allah with a sound heart. So your fulus and your children will be of no avail for you. They will be of no benefit for you unless you had been utilizing them in obedience to Allah. Your children will benefit you on the day of judgment. And so will your money. If your money has been spent in ways pleasing to Allah and your children have been brought up Islamically. Not PlayStation 3. Islamically. Not Xbox. Islamically. Because nowadays we have a new way of raising children. Get a maid. Buy an entertainment center. Get subscription to some satellite dish. And khalas, the job is done. And of course the school. Right? Which you don't know really what's going on in school. And the parents feel, I've done my job concerning my children. And of course, we must add the fundamental ritual, which has become a ritual, unfortunately, in the life of the Muslims. Tahfidh. My son is memorizing the Quran. Does your son understand the Quran? Does your son have any other knowledge besides the Quran? No. But my son is a hafiz, mashallah. He has the whole Quran memorized. And we've seen these individuals. If you were to look at him from a distance, the last thing that will come to your mind that he's a Muslim. The last thing. Then you'll be shocked that he's a Muslim and a hafiz. His car, he bought it in riba, usury, interest, you know. He got a girlfriend, you know, we can name a number of things. Walaikum salam. And this man had memorized the Quran. This was unheard of among the righteous predecessors, man. Ibn Umar, you know Ibn Umar, the son of the Khalifa, you know how long it took him to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah? Who can guess? Surah Al-Baqarah, the average kid will memorize it in 3 months in the tahfidh. How long did it take Ibn Umar to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah?
8 years.
8 years. 8 years! This is a scholar, man. He's not like his memory was deficient or he had a problem memorizing. No, 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 no. This is a alim, a scholar from the scholars of Islam. Among the best people to walk upon earth, let's put it that way. Because after the messengers, the best disciples are the Sahaba of the Prophet ﷺ. So they are superior to all the other nations. Meaning he's among the best people to ever walk upon earth. It took him 8 years to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. Why? Because their methodology was, they would take only 10 verses, they will memorize them in terms of the wording, and the meaning, and the rulings, and the implementation, and once all that was intact, then they will move on to the next 10. That's what we need today. If you memorize Surah Al-Ikhlas, with the implications of Surah Al-Ikhlas, you can give da'wah from now until tomorrow, only on this chapter. You can discuss and discuss and discuss for hours on Surah Al-Ikhlas, 3 verses or 4 verses. If what we understood, this is far better in the sight of Allah than someone who has Juz'u Amma memorized and only haven't memorized. He doesn't understand it, he doesn't give da'wah to it, he doesn't know how to interact with it, they're not the same. So we're not stuck on memorization. Yes, it is virtuous. It is good. We need people who have memorized the Quran. We're not trying to belittle that or undermine it in any way, shape or form. But we don't want to turn Islam into ritualism. You know ritualism. It's like vacant. There's a vacuum in the act of worship. We just carry it out like without any spirituality involved. And this is a disease. If a Muslim has been afflicted with this disease, then his situation is very dangerous. There's a big barrier between this person and Jannah if Islam becomes a bunch of ritualism. So then what we want, ya akhwan, is we actually want to, you know, memorize and understand. This then on the day of judgment, your children will be of benefit. If you raise a righteous son or a righteous daughter, everything that you teach them will be in your book of deeds on the day of judgment. This is a big investment. Keeping in mind that they will be making dua for you, istighfar for you, and this will benefit you even after you die. Among the very many little things, or the few things which will benefit you after you die, is a righteous child making dua for you. Right, and the recurrent charity and knowledge which people benefit from, which the people benefit from. So, you know, keep in mind that we want our children to be raised Islamically, not according to any other means. It is not enough to give them money and spend on them. This is not raising. This is an obligation. Raising them meaning they love Islam, their whole life is Islam, everything in their life is governed by Islam. This is the kind of mentality that they need to be upon. So a young child at the age of 3 or 4 should be able to say, MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, how are you? Alhamdulillah, Salaamu Alaikum, Wa Alaikum Salaam. Right? This is the norm. Anything else they see, they should know and be able to relate it to Allah in one way or another. This is how a child is brought up Islamically, not just, you know, by talking. Tayyib. And the Shaykh quoted other ayat, وَمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا زُلْفَ إِلَّا مَنْ آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَزَاءُ الضَّعْفِ بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَهُمْ فِي الْغُرُفَاتِ آمِنُونَ. It is neither your wealth nor your children that will get us, that will get you closer to us, except he believes and does righteous deeds, then it is those whose reward will be multiplied due to what they have done, and they will be in the ghurufat, in the rooms, in the chambers, safe, which is in paradise. وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. And whatever good you present or you put forth to yourself, then really you will find it with Allah to be more abundant and greater in reward. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And the disbelievers are the wrongdoers. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَهُمْ لِعِبَادَتِهِ وَرَزَقَهُمْ وَعَافَاهُمْ لِيَسْتَعِينُوا بِذَلِكَ عَلَى طَاعَتِهِ فَخَرَجُوا عَمَّا خَلَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَأَشْرَكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. This is very important. Why are they the oppressors? Because Allah had created them to worship Him. And He sustained them and He gave them protection. He protected them. So they may use and utilize these blessings to obey Him. However, they went out and deviated from the purpose of creation, from the purpose of why Allah created them, and they worshipped along with Allah. They associated partners to Him, those whom He did not send down any authority concerning. So they did two major errors. Number one, they denied Allah's right of being worshipped. Number two, they erected other gods among themselves and they worshipped them beside Allah. That's like you get hired by a company, okay? And there's the business, a contending business across the street. And they do business differently, okay? They go against each other because each one has his own strategy in making money. You get hired and you have a manager. This manager, as an employee, you are supposed to listen to him or not?
Listen.
I mean, if you don't like to listen to anyone, don't get a job. Or start your own business. But once you work for someone, and he tells you to do something business related, that is, we're not dealing with the deen of Allah. If he tells you to disobey Allah, خَلِّي وَلِّي. Right? We're speaking about business related. You work for this company, this is how the manager thinks. Even if you disagree, if he tells you, I want you to do it, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do it. If you get hired by this company, who's paying for your salary, who got you your visa, who give you a yearly vacation. Now, nowadays, this is almost unheard of, right? It's like a dream come true. But anyways, they do everything that you deserve. Everything that you deserve, or more than you deserve. They're very kind and generous to you. However, you refuse to obey the manager. You don't come on time, you don't do your job, he tells you to do this and you ignore him, what would we say to you? More than that, somebody, when they will usually send someone who will give you some reward before you leave. Someone who will beat you up and down the street, or they will get revenge from you at the end of the day. Sometimes it's not enough to fire you, because you still won. You lived in the accommodation, you spent the money they gave you, and you gave them nothing in return. They will get this money from you in other ways, either through court or through gangsters, right? But usually this is how it's done. Type. This is one problem. And no one will deny that this person deserves it. He deserves this punishment because he was undutiful, ungrateful. But imagine if you even went to the extreme. Not only you did not obey your manager, but you allowed the manager of the other business tell you how to run the business of your company. And he did this in such a way to destroy the business. Then what would happen to you? Don't ask. What am I saying here? That when we look at it from a worldly perspective, no one will deny that this person is guilty, deserving of punishment in the most severe manner available among the humans, which is usually what? Killing you. Right? Is there anything more severe than killing you? Once they've killed you, it's over. So the people then have to understand why Allah will punish the disbelievers. It's in that light that we have to understand it. The same way that not only they didn't worship Allah, but they went out of their way and they worshipped false gods. And not only that, then they called the messengers who are calling them to worship Allah alone crazy, lunatics, magicians. So they denied Allah's right, they worshipped others with them, then they made fun of those who worship Allah alone. Unbelievable crime. Unbelievable crime. These are the biggest criminals on earth. Killing people and the other things are all various gravity in terms of crime. But the greatest crime is that. So Mother Teresa was a criminal of the highest standards. Because even though she did what is philanthropic, they call it, something that has to do with loving people, her relationship with God was horrible. Both with Allah, without a doubt, with her own false God. She had written letters before she died, which you can look up on the news magazine or a Times magazine. Look them up, go to Google. Put Mother Teresa's letters and see what she said before she died. God, I don't have faith anymore. I lost faith. God has forsaken me. Blah, blah, blah. Crazy stuff. So even before she died in Christianity, she disbelieved in whatever she was worshipping. Of course, because she was upon a false religion. So then we say, Luqman said, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Verily, shirk is great oppression. We have to know that when we label people, even though we may appreciate some of their good qualities, we could never turn a blind eye that the greatest crime ever committed is being committed by these people while they are being called to Islam and they refuse to accept. Alaykum salam. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ In Surah Al-Saf. Surah Al-Saf. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ No. وَهُوَ يُدْعَى إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ Anyways, the ayah, I mean, who is more oppressive than he who denies the verses of his Lord while he's being called to Islam? وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ And Allah does not guide the wrongdoers. So we have to know why Allah said this here. وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ And the disbelievers are the wrongdoers. This is the greatest crime ever committed on the face of the planet. نعم لأن وذلك لأن الله خلقهم لعباده we mentioned that واستعانوا بنعمه على الكفر والفسوق والعصيان فلم يبقوا للعدل موضعا فلهذا حصر الظلم المطلق فيهم and they further used and utilized Allah's bounties so they may disbelieve in Him they may disobey Him and reject Him so they did not leave any room for justice They had no justice whatsoever. And consequently, Allah made oppression exclusive to them. Because there was no justice in their conduct, then there was nothing but transgression and wrongdoing. So Allah says, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ This is interesting in the Arabic language because it indicates exclusivity. Because if you want to translate it in the literal sense, and the disbelievers are the wrongdoers. Otherwise you would say, وَالْكَافِرُونَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ And the disbelievers are the wrongdoers. Or you could have said, the wrongdoing is being done by the disbelievers, or the wrongdoing is a quality of the disbelievers. But when you say, and the disbelievers are the wrongdoers, like they're the only wrongdoers in the world, because everybody else will be saved somehow if you're a Muslim, even if you have done some dhulm, that dhulm will not put you in the Jahannam for eternity, right? It will eventually get you, the iman will eventually get you out. طيب. Now believe it or not, we're going to the Ayat al-Kursi. And Ayat al-Kursi is a lengthy ayah, which I believe deserves a sitting on its own. So instead of beginning it now and continuing next week, inshallah, we'll try to deal with the whole thing next week. Ayat al-Kursi, please, يعني, if come on time. Let me just finish the recording. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, shallallahu la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.